Church, it is great to see you this morning. Thank you very much again for being a part of our services here. I hope that everybody has had a great start to this day, to this week. I know that I'm always encouraged when I'm able to gather together with the church, with the saints, and I started out in Bible class this morning and then a great fellowship period and now a worship time. Our theme this year, as we have announced and even preached on, is to be living stones, to love, to care, to live like Jesus Christ. You know, and I'm so thankful that stones are rock solid, right? They are rock solid. They're not moving. That's what we must be rooted in. The truth of God, it doesn't change. It stays the same. From Jesus' day to now to forever, right? It stays the same. But we must be rocks that are living. We must take the message. We must be active. And the beautiful thing is, with that, there are a lot of things happening here. There's a lot of folks that are being active. And because of the love and the way you are like Jesus, it makes it appealing for people to want to be here. And so I believe I have some news that may be coming my way. Does somebody have a piece of paper they can bring me here? Turn the mic up. Robert, I'm loud. Hey, I've preached before and people have been out like, please lower your voice. I've never had anybody tell me to turn it up. But we'll do it, man. I'll get ready. Hey, I got some good news coming, though. I really do. Thank you. I told you this place is got a lot of great things going on, and I told you last week that we're going to be having, I had a feeling, some more good news. And so this morning we have two sweet young ladies that are placing their membership with us, Delaney and Sadie Eubanks. They are... this Delaney is the granddaughter of Sister Roderick, and then her daughter is Sadie, and then Delaney's sister is Layla. And so we're so thankful for Delaney, Sadie, and Layla, and I want y'all to get to know them. If y'all stand up, please. Welcome them to Azalea City. They are precious young ladies, all three, if you will, are young ladies to me. So please get to know them, encourage them. Of course, a lot of family together, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that y'all's family, the Broderick family as a whole, is a part of the Azalea City family. What a blessing it is. Living stones, that is who we are. That is what we are. Today, I'm going to continue that series of lessons, that theme, if you will, by talking about that we are built together in Christ. You've heard the scriptures this morning, right? You heard Jace come and read to us from Ephesians. And Ephesians talked about Jesus. We're going to get into that again in a moment, being the chief cornerstone. You heard Justin come and read to us in our long scripture about Jesus and the building and who we are. We are the temple of God. You see, that's what it's all about, right? We are living stones. We're going to be rock solid, but we've got to take the message to everyone. We've got to live like Jesus. We've got to love like Jesus. We've got to care like Jesus. In order to do that, we must be built together in Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, let's go to that reading again. Let's go to 1 Peter, actually 2, verses 4 and 5 to begin with. I'll get there in just a moment. Sorry about that, Sergey. I threw you a curveball. 1 Peter 2, 4 and 5. Let's remind ourselves of this. As you come to Him, a living stone. Guess what's going to happen to living stones? Rejected by men. That's going to happen, right? Not everybody's going to be receptive to the message. Not everybody's going to want to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. But here's what Peter said. As you come to Him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. Today, I guess if we were going on a dig somewhere, and we were digging, and along the way, we found some gold. we'd be pretty excited, right? Or if we were digging and we found a huge diamond, we'd be pretty excited. You know why? Because to us, those things are precious. You know, it reminds me of the parable, right? The man who found the treasure. This field, it had this treasure in it, so he sold everything he had. Why? To go buy the field, because he knew the treasure was so costly, so beautiful, so valuable. Here's what God said. People threw you out. The world threw you out. But as we think gold is precious, diamonds are precious, God thinks we're more precious than that. And no matter where you are today in your life, if you feel low, if you feel unloved, if you feel hurt, if you feel distraught, I want you to know that the God of the universe, He chose you. And to Him you are precious. Let's let it all harmonize now. As you come to Him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Again, the imagery of living stones is such a profound way that Peter describes our identity in Christ. Remember, we talked about that last week. What is our identity? Who are we? It's not our job that should become our identity. It's not even our family. It's not a hobby. It's not something we're good at. It ought to be Jesus Christ. He is who we are. In fact, God created us to be image bearers. And we're created in the image of God. It means we are to take Him and show Him to all the world. Living stones. You see, there are some temporary structures of this world that are amazing, aren't they? I have been to places that I have seen beautiful buildings and beautiful walls and beautiful bridges and a lot of things that were built that are just extraordinary. But you know what? All those things are temporary. Something that might take years and the greatest of engineers and the greatest of architects and the greatest of designers and everybody, it might take years to build this phenomenal bridge, but it would only take just a few moments to blow it all up. It's temporary. Unlike the temporary structures of this world, God is building something eternal. And every single one of us have a role in its divine construction. That's an honor. That's a privilege. That ought to be something that excites us today. That God, the God of the universe, Jehovah, Yahweh, the only true living God, He chose you. And to Him, we are precious. And He is taking us and building us this great eternal structure, and every single one of us has a role in it. So today, let's talk about what it means to be living stones built together in Christ. Number one, living stones are connected to the cornerstone. Turn, if you will, now to Ephesians 2, same reading we had earlier. We're going to read a little bit more, 19 through 22. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. Listen to the words of Paul here. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the chief or the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Today we're going on a building project, right? The beautiful thing is all the hard stuff's been done. The foundation's been laid. That foundation Paul talked about was the apostles and the prophets. We know it today as the Word of God, the Holy Word of God, the Bible, right? The reason Paul was saying he's building on the apostles, what were the apostles teaching? They were teaching what we call the apostles' doctrine. Where were they getting it from? Directly from the Holy Spirit. And because of that, they were writing what we know as the New Testament today. Today, we don't have that miraculous power of the Holy Spirit that tells us what needs to be said and done, because it's already been written and it's already been done, and that's why it is unmoving. It doesn't change. The Word of God doesn't change. And so we're living on that foundation. We're living on the foundation of the Word of God. That's why it's so important to know the Word of God. If you don't know the Word of God, if you don't study the Word of God, then you got holes in your family foundation. You got holes in your personal foundation. You got holes in your work foundation. What happens when you got holes in the foundation? It crumbles. Today, the foundation of God does not crumble. But if I don't use it, my life crumbles. But he said, you're built on the, God is building it on the foundation of the apostles, the foundation of the Word of God. And then he goes on to say, to which Jesus is the cornerstone. Think about that now. In ancient times, in ancient construction, the cornerstone ensured the stability and unity of the entire building. It was that cornerstone that the foundation played a huge part, right? The foundation was critical, but once that foundation was established, they put that cornerstone in, and from there it balanced the whole building. The whole building was able to be strengthened because of the foundation and the cornerstone. Listen, the foundation and the cornerstone's already been established, and it's rock solid. The foundation of the Bible is rock solid. Jesus Christ is rock solid, unmoving. But we have a role. The storms are coming. The storm has already come in the life of Jesus. He was able to withstand the storm because He is the unique Son of God. But hear me out on this. The storms can come. The rains can come, just like He talked about in Matthew 7. The floods can come. The foundation of God will unmove. Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, will unmove. But if I am not connected to that foundation and to that cornerstone, if I am not connected to that, then my life will crumble. It's critical today. It's critical to be aligned with Jesus Christ. If I'm going to be a living stone, the way Paul called it, I have to be connected to Jesus. So the question has to be, what is your life aligned with today? Well, you might say it's aligned with Jesus because, hey, preacher, I'm here. Okay, we are. But am I really here? Oh, I know you're physically here, but am I here spiritually? Listen, I go back to this all the time. In Genesis 3, when God called out to Adam, He said, hey, where are you? Guess what? He's God. Guess what? He's Yahweh, okay? He's the only true God. He's the creator of the universe. He's the creator of Adam. He's the creator of Eve. He's the creator of the Garden of Eden. He knew exactly physically where Adam and Eve were. He didn't need to ask. You don't play hide and seek with God. He knew where they were. But where are you spiritually? Adam, Eve, where are you? Fill in your name. Terry, fill in your name. Where are you? Oh, physically, I know exactly where you are. But are we truly connected to the cornerstone? Are we connected to the one who will not allow us to crumble? Jesus is not only the one who anchors our soul. He's not only the one who saves our soul, but He's the one that sets the direction and alignment of our entire lives. Everything we do, going back to identity now, everything we do has to align with the will of God. The old saying the t-shirts, whatever it may be, WWJD, what would Jesus do? That is really profound. everything we do in life, we should ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? After all, we're built on the foundation, and He is the chief cornerstone. You see, today, if we were to build a building, and the foundation was out of alignment, it would not stand. If the anchor of that building was out of alignment, it wouldn't stand. Today, in the eternal building, God's building, we don't have to worry about it. The foundation's solid, the cornerstone's solid. But also, if we were building that building, and the bricks were out of alignment, that building is not what it should be. Today, if you're out of alignment with God, today, if you're not connected to the cornerstone who's connected to the foundation, then what are we doing in life? We're wasting it all. You see, there's coming a day, and listen, I know it'd be easy to get up here and preach encouragement and love and grace and mercy every single Sunday, and all those things matter. But sometimes we got to stir the crowd, right? Let me ask you this. Do you realize there is a day of judgment coming? There is a day when we will stand before the chief cornerstone. And you know what He's going to want to know? Were we aligned with Him and built on the foundation of Jesus, or the foundation of the Word? Are we doing that today? If the answer is yes, then let's keep on keeping on. Let's keep building. Let's keep growing. If the answer is no, then I got to change it. Number two, living stones are built together. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12, please. I love this passage. Paul, again, writing here, the writer here. You know what he's writing this to the church at Corinth? If you study the church at Corinth, it really helps you feel better about our church. Do we have struggles? You better believe it. Because, you know what? If we didn't have struggles and I showed up, then we got struggles, okay? Because we're human, we have struggles. There are things that aren't always just absolutely perfect, and that's just part of it. But the church at Corinth had a lot of struggles. One of those is they were divided. They were not unified. And so you know what Paul really harps on them? I mean, he's so mad at them at first. He says, I'm thankful I didn't baptize any of you, save Crispus and Gaius. That way you wouldn't say you were baptized in the name of Paul. He was so angry at them. But his tone kind of changes throughout, and he gets down to chapter 12. And again, this is right before what we know as the love chapter of the Bible. And he didn't write it in chapters. He wrote a whole letter. But we know it as chapters, right? In chapter 12, he's talking about the importance of unity. In verses 12 through 14, he writes this, "For just as the body is one." Remember, they were divided. He said, "The body is one." And he's talking about the physical body now. But the parallel is the church body. "Just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ." Here's what that means. Okay, in your body you have a lot of bones, all right? And you have a lot of, we have two arms and two legs and five fingers and five toes, and we got all these members, right? We got a pinky and we got a big toe, and we've got an arm and we've got a foot. Okay, we go on and on, right? We get the point. He said, you got a lot of members, but it makes up one body. He said, it's the same way in the body of Christ. Remember, Christ is the head. We are the body. He goes on to say, "For in one Spirit," get this, "we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit." Don't you love the way he worded that? Jews and Greeks meant Gentiles and Jews, right? Anybody that wasn't a Jew was a Greek or a Gentile. There were slaves and there were free. He said, it doesn't matter who you are. When you were baptized into Jesus Christ, we all became one. No matter how much money you make, no matter what color your skin, no matter what economic status you may have, when we obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ here at Azalea City, we became one at Azalea City, but we're all one with the church of our Lord. You see, God's design for His spiritual house involves each stone being placed intentionally and purposefully. No stone stands alone. Quite frankly, I need you. You see, if I get up here and I preach to an empty building, that's pointless. It's pointless. I need you. But full transparency, you need me. And you need the person sitting next to you. And you need the person sitting over on this side from this side. We need the people in the balcony. We need every single person here. Because there is a huge task to build. And everybody has a part. You know, Paul goes on to talk about not everybody's an eye. And that's a good thing, right? Not everybody's an eye. We've got some ears, we've got some mouths, we've got some toes, we've got some feet, we've got some hands, we've got some arms. We got a lot of it. But we all work together for one single cause. Living stones must be built together. If we are not together, we are worthless. A house divided, you can fill it in, right? Cannot stand. We must be unified together, connected to the cornerstone, connected to the foundation. There is unity in diversity. The diversity is we all have different talents. We all have different gifts. We all have different experiences. But we use all of those for the same purpose. The question has to be then this. What am I contributing to the strength of God's house? I like to say it this way. Maybe it's a little bit plainer. Are we a withdrawal only? Or are we making deposits? And I'm not talking about financial. There are those who say the church needs to do this for me, 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 do this for me. And then I get mad when they don't do this for me. You know what that is? That's a withdrawer. And you're not connected. It ought not be what is the church going to do for me, but what am I doing for the Lord's church? That's being built together with the same purpose in mind. Can you imagine a stone arch right now? This beautiful stone arch. All these bricks line up together and they build on each other, right? They build on each other to make this beautiful archway. What would happen if some of those bricks decided not to stay there anymore? The entire archway would fall. What are we doing? What am I doing? Where are you? Am I a living stone being built together? Thirdly, this morning, living stones make sacrifices. Romans 12, verse 1, that's the text. Paul says to the church at Rome, I appeal to you, the ESV says, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Did you hear what he said? He said, I appeal. The New King James says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. I urge you, I challenge you, I appeal to you, I beg you essentially. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. As God's house, and that's who we are. This building is not God's house. We are God's house. Now I'm thankful to have this building and I'm thankful to have the luxuries we have to be able to worship in. But we are the house of God. The church is the house of God. We as a church must not be a static structure. We've got to be active. We've got to be participating in the worship and the service and the mission of God, of the church. spiritual sacrifices, living sacrifices. They require our time, our talents, our resources, and our lives. And all of those are offered in service to God. What are we offering to God? Yeah, you know, I've said this before, but you know, it still makes sense. If I were to build up this great dinner, I was going to serve for you. I was going to invite you and your family over to my house, and we're going to have this great dinner together. And for weeks we talked about it, months we talked about it, and we texted, we reminded, we encouraged, hey, don't forget this date, and you marked it on your calendar, and you circled it, you highlighted it, the alarm went off in your phone, and it's that day. And you come over to my house around 5:30, 6, whatever time you want to eat dinner, I don't care. And we sit around the table, and we thank God for it, and I go to the refrigerator, and I pull out some 3-month-old potato salad. And I glob that on your plate. And then I open up the refrigerator and I get some old cold chicken to where it's like hard when it hits your plate. I might even have a couple pieces of pizza in there. And you look at me like I got 3 heads. You said there was going to be this great dinner, but all you gave me was old cold leftovers. You wouldn't like that too much. Nor would I. You think God does? You think God likes leftovers? I'm going to tell you, He doesn't. He said off the bat when He was talking to Moses, not once but twice, on the mountain of God, "You shall have no other gods before me." He goes on to say that about Himself, that He is a jealous God. You see, God doesn't want leftovers. He wants our best. And He deserves our best. Because in order to get to Him, it required His best. So what am I sacrificing for God today? What is the time I'm giving Him? Is it leftover? What are the talents I'm giving Him? Is it the leftover ones? The resources, the money, the finances, is it leftover? What part of my life am I giving to God? Is it the best? Is it the first? Or is it the leftover? You see on the screen these living stones, or these stones that built this altar. Take your minds back to Genesis 22. You don't have to turn there. I'll remind you of it. It's Abraham and Isaac. You remember that story? It's such a powerful story about Abraham's faith being tested and his just faith that he knew God would provide. Remember, he tells the people that are with him, the servants that are with him, hey, you stay here, the lad and I, my son and I, we're going to go over here and worship and we'll come back. He knew that he knew God was going to provide the whole time. But let's get to Isaac's mindset, okay? Let's get to Isaac. Isaac's old enough to know that they're gathering wood and they're getting some things to make a fire and they're going to worship. They're going to sacrifice. That's what it required then, sacrifice, living sacrifice that had to be put to death, right? A dead sacrifice to God. It might get to the point where Isaac sees the altar. I'm not real sure. I know he knows the wood's there and they've got the things to make a fire. They got the ropes and all that stuff. But maybe, let's just pretend he sees the altar, okay? Isaac looks at those rocks and he realizes something's got to be laid on that altar. Now, of course, he asks his father. But it goes to the point that he's even being laid on that altar. Beautiful story. We know God saves them and all that. but I want to take you to the altar. Isaac sees that altar, and you know what he knew that altar represented? Sacrifice. But he asked the question, where is the sacrifice? Because without the sacrifice, it's just a bunch of rocks that built an altar. Is God looking at you today? Is He looking at me today and saying, where is the sacrifice? Finally, this morning, living stones must reflect God's glory. Matthew 5, 14 through 16, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ said Himself, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to the whole house. In the same way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." The spiritual house God is building is meant to display His glory to the entire world. That's why we're here. What's your purpose? What's your identity? I can tell you right now, it is to bring glory to God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. The moon has no lights in it. You know, it's not a star. It's a moon. There is nothing in it that's burning, that's illuminating. But at night, especially on a full moon night, you can look up in the sky and it lights up the whole sky. Isn't that amazing? There's nothing in it that makes it illuminate. All it is doing is reflecting the sun. Do people see Jesus Christ's reflection in us? Are we illuminating God's Son? Are we reflecting God's Son in our lives? You see, that's the mindset that Jesus is talking about when He said, "Let your light so shine." There is nothing in you that can shine. There is nothing in you that you can light up and people see you illuminating and say, "Wow, that's pretty amazing you can do that yourself." What He wants us to see, or what He wants others to see, is Jesus Christ living in us. Are we reflecting God's glory in our words? Are we reflecting God's glory in our actions? Are we reflecting God's glory in our attitudes? In my Bible class, we've started a study on Christian ethics, and man, it brings some great discussion. We went through some scenarios today, and in those different scenarios, I had a lot of good discussion on things we should do. You know, when it comes to Christian ethics, it's really about, am I doing what God commands? Am I living like the character of Jesus? Am I thinking about the actions that I take? Are they going to hurt this person or cause this person to fall away or cause this person to not want to love Jesus Christ? That's all what Christian ethics is. In other words, am I doing what Jesus did? That means this. The way I talk needs to reflect Jesus. The way I respond to situations needs to reflect Jesus. The way I get on social media needs to reflect Jesus. Everything I do, it needs to illuminate God because Jesus is living in me. You've seen stained glass windows, right? Pretty amazing because each piece is a different color, right? It's stained a different color. But when the light shines through those stained glass windows, it creates a stunning display. There are a lot of different stained glass in here, if you will. But when we're collectively built together on the foundation of Jesus, connected to the chief cornerstone, the foundation of the Bible connected to Jesus, the chief cornerstone, it illuminates a stunning picture because it reflects the glory of God. God is building something extraordinary. The beautiful thing is we have a privilege of being in it, being a part of it. As living stones, we must be connected to Christ, built together in unity, willing to make sacrifice, and willing to reflect God's glory. So the question I have for us today is this as we conclude. Is Jesus Christ the foundation and the cornerstone of your life? Is Jesus Christ the cornerstone and foundation of your life? How then, if you want to know, are we contributing to the unity and strength of the church? Are we committing to offering God our best sacrifices in our everyday lives, worship, and service? Are we letting our light so shine so that others can see Jesus living in us? The question has to be then this: where are you? Don't just be an altar with no sacrifice. Don't just be a brick with no foundation. Don't just be a stone and be dead. Let's be living stones. Today, if you need to submit your life to the King by being immersed in water for the remission of your sins, or you need to make something right in your life publicly, and you need prayers of the church, we have the opportunity to get connected right now as together we stand and sing.